Okay, we're, wanna start on time, I think you know the routine by now, 20 minutes for talking, five for questions and answers, and then five for the transfer to the next leader. If you wanna go to 25 minutes, then there are no questions and answers. So, the case for innovation technology, Jack Swearingen and Lanny Vincent, and you can say a little more about who you are if you want to include that.
Jack, go ahead.
It's innovation theology rather than technology, but you're close. So this 75th anniversary and reflection has been really a sort of a stage setting for what we're going to do here, because there's been some searching for who we have been and who we are and what we should become as ASA. And that's very much what Lenny and I are going to try to address, putting together a framework for doing that. Hopefully one that can broaden ASA's mission and outreach. So what we're going to do is invite you into what we call an open architecture. And the structure of the architecture is an intersection. The intersection we call innovation theology. And it's all pictured on the screen. You can crane your neck, but then come back to the front or the back. We think this intersection is new. We're calling it biblical engineering, a new intersection or framework for biblical engineering and applied science. If you can think open architecture, we believe you should be able to find a place regardless of your organization or discipline. So lean in, join us, and give us some feedback when we're done. Lanny, what is innovation theology?
So, Jack, to say what innovation theology is, it may be more helpful to start by saying where it is.
Well, that's okay with me. So where would you locate it?
Okay, I think it is where four streams come together. Perhaps these streams come together more often than we care to admit or even acknowledge. The four streams are science, engineering, value, and God, or theology. Innovation theology is at the intersection of these four. So perhaps a word or two about each stream?
I'm all ears, but that's a figure of speech.
So each of these streams has its own orientation and purpose. For example, the orientation of science, generally, is discovery, especially discovery of causalities. Understanding, especially what causes what, is the output of science. This, of course, includes both hard and soft sciences. The orientation of engineering, generally speaking, is invention and reduction to practice. Demonstrations, incarnations, embodiments, as patent attorneys call them, of feasibility, or what is possible now, are its outputs. Know-how is the result, and technology is the word for know-how. The orientation of the stream called value is to invite us to reflect upon what we value and why we value it, and how we value and or evaluate what we value. The output of this stream is a clarification of what or who we value. The output is frequently in a state of flux and unresolved debate. Finally, the purpose of the theological or God stream is to invite us to ask what God's interests are, what God's will is, if you will, and where God shows up and why in the affairs of mankind and creation, specifically in the affairs of innovating. The output of this stream, this God stream, is know why.
Okay, I at least am still with you. So talk about the intersection.
Okay. Typically, technological innovation is thought to be the intersection of only three streams: discovery, invention, and value, or science, engineering, and value, probably requiring a little math as well. And these streams intersect at a point that is notoriously and chronically challenging and risky. It is saturated and littered with failure, technological, commercial, and both. Innovation theology recognizes that there's another stream that feeds into this really challenging intersection. And this other stream is not often seen, much less described, at least explicitly, but I believe it is no less real. And when bringing our attention to this conventional three-way intersection called technological innovation, it seems prudent, don't you think, to consider what God's interest may be at this intersection. By paying attention to this fourth stream, our innovating might get better, even easier, if it is more aligned with the interests of God.
Are you inferring, implying, that bringing the God stream into the mix, we could increase the probability of success in our innovating efforts?
Perhaps I am. Though, we might have to adjust our definition of success.
That may be a longer discussion than we have time for here. But let me come back to my first question. What is innovation theology?
So I don't want to seem pedantic, Jack, but before we can say what it is, it may be useful to say why it is. In other words, what difference would it make whether we bring this fourth stream into the mix of the other three?
Fair question.
So let me briefly tell you why I believe it is worth considering and why now.
That seems reasonable. Sorry.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
State of script. So let me first address the question why. Both innovation and theology, interestingly enough, have some things in common. Both are ways that people make sense. Both have to do with value, knowledge, and knowledge creation. Both have much to say about change and how we respond to it or not. And both shape human culture and the physical world with both positive and negative implications for generations to come. But even more than these common interests, it's theology that may be better able than any other to stitch together value, stitch value back together again. What do I mean by that? Value, like Humpty Dumpty after the fall, is currently lying shattered in pieces. It has devolved and delaminated into three separate categories. One, exchange value. Two, instrumental value. Three, intrinsic value. Exchange value is the comfort zone of economics. Instrumental value is the sine qua non of usefulness or practicality. Intrinsic value is relegated to matters of ethics and morality. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty together again, at least without an integrated, holistic perspective on value. The financial economy is increasingly divorced from the real economy, and both attend to ethical values only as a matter of compliance. Theology is the most likely orientation to stitch back together again what neoclassical economists have rent asunder.
That's a pretty expansive claim.
It is. And the work of Herman Daly and theologian John Cobb, along with the recent work of Philip Goldchild, all aim to do just that.
So I'll read them later, but why now?
Okay, fair enough. Theology, because of its proximity to teleology, or purpose, may be the only orientation that can help us answer an increasingly urgent set of questions. Where should we be innovating? Why? And for whom? To be blunt, growth and bottom lines are too often the primary, perhaps even the only, motivation for innovators today. We need a counterbalance, a balance that comes from plumb lines, like the one the prophet Amos saw God holding, to tell us where we need to innovate and why. The invisible hand of the marketplace is not sufficient. We need the hand of another, the one holding the plumb line. So consider the following three reasons for why now. One, the current state of innovating is depressed. The Economist magazine reported in the October 4th, 2014 issue that since 2008, corporate investment in America, the Eurozone, and Japan had fallen and remained short of cash flow. Firms are net savers rather than investors. The lowest level of investment in innovation since 1972. In November of that same year, 2014, the U.S. Defense Department, traditionally a perennial sponsor of major innovating efforts, including the internet, expressed worry that its contractors were not innovating like they used to. All this while corporations are sitting on unprecedented piles of cash, many of those piles offshore. Number two, what innovating is going on is often misdirected. Jeff Hammerbacher, former manager of Facebook data team and founder of Cloudera, has recognized this misdirection without perhaps any theology. Hammerbacher puts it this way: the best minds of my generation are thinking about how to make people click ads. That sucks. Inquiry from a theological perspective will ask where and why and for whom. Third, economic systems are subsets of the natural ecosystem. Biblical theology makes it very clear that the ecosystem is God's creation, and men and women are given the responsibility to be stewards of that creation, to till it and to keep it. Furthermore, men and women are children of God before they are consumers. This ecosystem is increasingly stretched by the lust and idolatry of economic growth and consumption, otherwise known simply by the word more. Many suggest that globally, sources and sinks of the ecological system are approaching, if not already exceeded, capacity, largely because of this idolatry, or you might call it addiction.
Okay, Lanny, you've walked me through the where and the why. Let's get back to the what. What is innovation theology?
Well, the what of innovation is where ASA comes in, don't you think?
Well, I suspect so. But specifically, where are you going with this?
Well, if there's any association that might be more attuned to this four-way intersection, or better represented by thoughtful and experienced practitioners in most of these intersecting streams, then tell me what association it might be.
Well, of course, I lured some of my ASA compatriots who are part of CEST, Christian Engineers and Scientists in Technology, saying that we're going to do this. So that association, which thrived almost, or flourished maybe even for a dozen years, has kind of gone on the shelf in the last couple.
Well, what happened to it?
Well, there was attrition. People went away to their own other causes. Lack of major impact within ASA, and the practical problem that engineers and industry can't expense their trips to ASA, nor can engineering faculty and secular universities get tenure credit for giving an ASA paper or
yes.
Publishing perspectives as faculty in Christian colleges.
Publish or perish. But tell me, specifically, what's the connection you make between innovation theology and CEST?
Well, when I discovered you and you began to talk to me about this, I began to think that maybe innovation theology is a better frame for CEST, what they were trying to do. In fact, it resonates with our original purpose. But that purpose may have been too limited. I'm thinking that this is a broader framework for doing what CEST set about doing.
So maybe instead of me telling you what innovation theology is, ASA should be telling me and the world what innovation theology is. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, you're getting closer.
Well, what might it look like?
Well, let's propose an experiment. Let's put a dozen people or so into a room for a couple hours, some of you maybe. We'd have to repeat this probably more than once, maybe four or five times with the same people. The people would be a deliberate mix of, let's say, a couple of scientists, a couple of technologists, two economists, two theologians or theologues, and two entrepreneurs, which could be of any background. The commonality among all of them is that some degree of genuine theological curiosity.
What would they talk about?
Well, they'd talk about where innovation is needed, and why, and for whom, and for another, how the making of meaning should precede the making of money. Another topic might be this plumb line idea to perceive bottom lines in the setting of priorities for R&D, or whether the church has any role to play in this endeavor, and whether scriptures have anything to say to innovators, practical or otherwise. Those are a few for starters.
Well, where might the conversations lead?
Well, very few preachers are equipped to address innovation as an issue, even though innovation is increasingly shaping our culture and our society and the lives of their congregants. Technological innovation increasingly has been reshaping society, going on for some time. God may be engaged in this somehow, both helping and restricting it or resisting it. That is a prudent assumption. Let's make that one. So what if ASA were to bring a theological education to theological education, a primer on innovation, technical, technological, and scientific? We've done this kind of thing with ASA with science and faith. Seminaries don't need to be afraid of technology or technological innovation as long as we bring this plumb line.
It's the same kind of thing that Wayne just presented on for the AAAS effort, Dosers effort. So for many years, I saw a course that was offered called Finance for the Non-Financial Executives. Might ASA be offering something analogous to the theologically educated? Something like technological innovation for the theologically educated?
Exactly.
Hmm.
This is a pregnant pause.
So much for the theater,
Jack.
All right. So tell me, Jack, how might you think ASA would answer, or the folks in ASA, answer these two questions? One, does God have anything to do with innovation? And two, does innovation have anything to do with God?
Well, so adopting your methodology, I'd say however we respond, our answer would reveal the state of our understanding of innovation theology. Would it not?
Yeah. Whether we seek answers to such questions in the first place would also reveal much about our orientation to change and our readiness to respond.
So the concept of innovation itself conjures up a diverse set of connotations. Amidst the variety, however, a working definition of innovation should involve change and how we respond to change, especially when we respond in ways that involve science and engineering to create new value for others.
Likewise, the term theology leads to various associations, both positive and negative. Too often, theology is about doctrinal imperatives that lack requisite humility and often ignore the interpretive challenges in play for any theological inquiry. However, one could say that the intended output of theological inquiry is to prepare us to give an account, a better, more articulate account, more persuasive, for the hope that is within us. Now, amidst this variety, however, a working definition of innovation theology should include what we believe interests God and where God chooses to show up and why at intersections of science, engineering, and value.
We've lost our graphic on the
screen. That's right. Everybody's got it.
There's one in your handout. So thinking about that graphic, innovation and theology, whatever else, get stirred up in our imagination, the intersection itself is what we want to draw our attention to, if only to discern where God's intentions are with respect to change, and whether God is present or absent in our responses, and how God is breathing in the new value that we aim to create for others.
So perhaps ASA might want to consider broadening its field of view to include not only physical science, but scientists, but social ones as well, along with a theologically curious entrepreneur or two? Seems that it's at least worth an experiment, don't you think?
Well, I propose an experiment, conceptually at least, but there used to be more social scientists in ASA and perhaps more theologians that there are now. I think we need them back. Innovation theology seems to me, to us, to offer not only a gateway for reconnecting ASA with the social sciences community, but also invites them into an important role. And rather crassly, it also could increase ASA membership.
So what might be the next steps?
Well, you have a list of background reading, but people who get even a hint of this vision could read the essays that you've written on the topic or volunteer to participate in the experiment we were talking about. Maybe we could do this online, but video conferencing probably is a must. So with that, we've set forth our framework. Now we invite a dialogue. Tell us what's good and what's lacking. You can say, this is so wonderful, I'm overwhelmed.
Social scientists aren't here because we chased them out. They've always been welcome. So you can't say, well, we really should go get some. It would be a good idea, but they won't come or haven't come.
Hmm.
Rephrase the question, realizing that it's not like they weren't ever welcome.
Well, why do you suppose they don't come?
We didn't make ourselves clear, I don't think. What we're saying is if we have a place where they can make a vital contribution, they will be attracted and the word will get out. If here's something that you can be part of that you're an important contributor to.
Dave?
Well, I'm in an interdisciplinary program, and that's sort of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Here. The challenge I see, having I teach a class on faith and science integration, is that certain disciplines are just unable to conceive of things across the fence from them. For instance, I teach a number of computer science majors in the class I teach, mm-hmm. and when I ask them to describe the meaning of technology, they don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. They can tell you what technology does, mm-hmm. but they cannot tell you what it means.
So you know the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's about crossing the street.
So I think
this street is a big chasm.
So I like your idea. I guess I'm just
the Samaritan
out.
Is the one who crosses.
Yeah, I'm
right.
Just pointing out the challenge is that street crossing.
Absolutely.
And getting people to listen to somebody who crosses the street to talk to them.
Right, but isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to cross streets.
It's interesting that the God arrow is on the outside, downstream edge of technological innovation. Why there? Why is it not on the upstream side of innovation? This implies its role is technology assessment, but it may be going upstream.
Yeah. I kind of like the diagram a little bit because it almost looks, if you look at it a little bit far away, it looks like an amplifier. Yeah.
Isn't Hillary Clinton up there or something?
You need that feedback arrow to go around.
Yeah,
the
back.
Yeah.
2 minutes. Except
okay.
There are three inputs.
Any other questions?
But it's a feedback loop.
Yeah.
Just a comment to say that maybe in part the diagram itself is not very welcoming to theologians in the sense that you've got all this stuff coming in from the left towards the right. And you got this little black arrow that's going back over ground. And I think traditionally, a lot of the integration between science and theologians, scientists and theologians, is that if you get all your stuff and you present it to them, then they'll come and they'll feast on it and you'll have innovative theology. Where the starting point really should be with the theologians to ask them, what would you like to empirically investigate? Where are the open questions in theology itself? And then you come alongside of it.
Yeah, I think as I wrote the essays, I would tend to agree with you. The weight is not on innovative theology. That has already been done by the Reformed tradition, whether it's good or bad. But if you're in the Reformed tradition, you should be constantly reforming. This is actually about innovation, as it was used as a term about 20 years ago in the industrial world. It was distinguished from creativity, and it included reduction to practice, patents, technology, what we call STEM disciplines now, commercialization, and diffusion. And that's not happening. So I imagine this could be a quixotic attempt to resurrect the old definition of innovation because it's been grossly stretched out of meaning and proportion by Madison Avenue and a variety of other folks. But I think the center point is with theology, and that's where I'm attempting to concentrate. So I would agree with you. I think trying to cross that street to the wounded theologians that have been raped and
pillaged. Lenny used to be a preacher. That's why you can't stop.
So if you get this rolling, I see a range of outcomes. So on one extreme, you could end up with just a bunch of people talking to each other and not really doing much of anything. I think you actually need to pick the people that you start with. If you possibly can, you should get some really already innovative entrepreneurs, not just somebody who wants to do something. Now, on the other extreme, now here's the idea. From my point of view, here's what I want this to be. I want to come to a retreat, roast marshmallows, hold hands, sing kumbaya, wake up in the morning with a download from God about how to make cold fusion or something and become a billionaire. And that would be like the ideal. But then I have all these theologians helping me steward it. Now that would be like the ideal, but I think somewhere between the two extremes is your actual range of expectations. I think that's what your challenges are. And you know, that last part, it's a little tongue in cheek, but that is actually what they want. So let's just acknowledge it.
We need to.
If you want to be part of this, email either one of us. Lenny's email at least is on the handout.
Thank you all.